Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Glovina Show. I'd like you to do me a huge favor. Could you please post, call, or text someone and invite them to join us on the Dr. Glovina Show? And I am Glovina Williams. Before we move on, I want to remind you that God knows the thoughts and the plans He has for your life. But the question remains, do you believe God? Because when we truly believe God, this belief requires action. In other words, I'm encouraging you to step out on faith. I want to remind you, this is a safe place where you can gain clarity to rebuild and possibly restructure your life and feel safe and happy while doing it. Okay, let's get started.
Well, hello. I am Dr. Glovina Williams. I want to say welcome again to the Dr. Glovina Show. And I want you to do me a huge favor. I think I asked if you'll post, call, or text someone. I want you to invite at least five people to join us today on the Dr. Glovina Show. I want to remind you, always remember that God knows the thoughts, He knows the plans that He has for your life. But you know, sometimes there's always that question, do we really believe God? I want you to know that this is a safe place where you can gain clarity. I often say you might want to even begin to rebuild or restructure your life. You know, we have developed this podcast. It's a community of listeners, and we want to connect with you, support you, and celebrate you. Not just you, but we want to celebrate your family, your friends, and even perhaps your ministry and your business. I am the host, and I do serve in many other capacities, but we're here today to address some contemporary needs, contemporary aspirations. So I want to say to you today that I have a special guest, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. You know, Women's History Month is quite exciting because we celebrate this particular year. The theme is celebrating women who tell our story. In other words, we have so much in common with each other. We really do. It is often said that we have more in common than not. So today, celebrating women who tell our stories, an uncommon hero. You know, today we're going to interview and hear from a she's a person that I've known for a long time. Her name is Judy Reed, and I'm going to say it like this, Lieutenant Judy Reed. She's served in the United States Navy, and she is now retired. She was born in Kingston, Jamaica, West Indies, and she retired as an officer from the United States Navy. And there's something still very unique about our guest today, is that she also responded to God's call. Yeah, not only responded to the call of the great country of America, but she responded to God's call. This young woman was licensed. She was licensed to preach the gospel in 2009. At the time, she was stationed in Naples, Italy, and this is where I met her. She's a very determined and charismatic leader. She served in many offices in the church, but she served in many capacities as well in the United States Navy. Yeah. She likes to say it like this. She's a light paving the path for those who have lost their way. You know, today we're going to just talk to her a little bit. We're going to just bring her in right now. Hi, Judy, are you there?
Dr. Glovina, yes, I am.
Well, we're so happy that you could join us today and to join us in celebrating women who tell our stories. Yeah. You know, I just want you to if you could take a moment and let's share with our listeners, let's just share with them a bit about who you are, and just kind of tell us why did you join the Navy?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for having me. It is indeed an honor, and I am grateful that you share your platform this morning. Well, what made me join the military, the United States Navy? You know, I tell you, from I was a little girl living in an island in Jamaica, I used to see the commercials of the United States military on the television doing various humanitarian assignments. And I also enjoyed the discipline, the uniform, everything about that community. And I said one day I will join the United States military, only to be told that I cannot join the military from living in Jamaica. So 6 years later, I was enlisted in the United States Navy from Miami, Florida, immediately after a severe storm tore up the buildings. The college that I was also was supposed to start college during that week, I ended up signing up for the United States Navy.
Wow. So, yeah, that's awesome, because it sounds to us like there was a vision. There was a vision. You had a vision. And even though at the time it may have seemed quite a challenge and perhaps something that you would not be able to accomplish, wow, it looks like that dream, that vision came true for you. You stepped out on faith, and that's one of the things that I really talk about a lot on our podcast, is stepping out on faith. So you joined the Navy, and tell us a little bit about that journey.
Oh, well, the journey for me began swiftly. I spent my time going through recruiting training in Orlando, Florida. I was amongst the last class that finished out in Orlando, Florida, before they moved to Illinois. And upon returning from basic training, I was immediately assigned to a naval vessel, a ship out of San Diego, California. You know, although San Diego is a beautiful place to be, that ship was a bit scary just from even my first encounter with looking up. Being on board the vessels at first was very challenging for me, especially as a female and, too, a female from another culture. Another country. And so I faced a few challenges getting adjusted on board the naval vessel in San Diego, California. One of those challenges were being amongst males. You know, during those times, the males were being merged, migrated, if I may say, onto the vessels with females and vice versa. So a lot of the males were not used to having females on board the vessels, and a lot of the males felt at that time that women did not belong in the military, especially on board a war vessel. And so that became a challenge for me and some of the other females at times with getting our assignments accomplished, because we have to go to the males and we have to go through areas that were difficult to access on the ship, if I may say, without the assistance of some of the males. And so I had to quickly learn the ways. I had to quickly adjust, and I had to quickly get acclimated with the entire vessel in order to maneuver on my own.
Wow. So you overcame that challenge. I'm really thinking about what an exciting journey, but part of the excitement and energy of your journey was the fact that you had some challenges to overcome. And one of them is the fact that you were in a normally a non-female traditional environment on board a war vessel. Wow, as a female. You know, I've talked to male sailors, and one of the things that they have said about women being on board ships is this. They said the ships got better. As time went on, they realized that the environment was better in this respect. They said that the living conditions became better because the women really stood up and asked for certain things. So that the shipboard life and experience became better because of the improvements of the structure of the war vessels. So while you have overcome some challenges, being in a non-traditional, at that time, a non-female traditional career, you overcame that challenge. You began to integrate more and more with the male naval service members. So could you tell us what other kind of challenges did you face and overcome?
The biggest one, 9/11, was a huge challenge for me. Yes, I was one of those sailors on board the aircraft carrier during 9/11, and it was uncertain times for all of us. And during those times, I had to overcome the fear of being lost at sea or the fear of going into another country and we are not able to return to our homeland due to the war that was at hand. On board the warfighter, a lot of challenges. The next challenge for me as a naval officer was that of a naval officer. The facing, having the courage to change from enlisted to becoming now a commissioned officer, transitioning from a atmosphere, if I may say, an environment that I was familiar with, that I knew after overcoming those challenges, I knew that environment. And now I have to now transition to another environment as a naval officer. Now in this role, I have more responsibility. I elevated, if I may say, faced with getting a mission ready. Challenges I faced as a naval officer would be things such as the single parents. That was a huge challenge with ensuring that they have caretakers to take care of their children when we would embark on a mission away from the homeland. And the next big challenge I faced, Dr. Glovinia, would be the mental health illnesses. That was a huge one and still is for a lot of military leaders because this put us as leaders in a tight spot to get the mission ready in order to succeed. And you also at the same time want to ensure that the sailors are well, so they cannot embark with you on the mission that they were assigned and trained and equipped to accomplish. So now you have to be able to balance getting the right person to those people who could not take part in the mission, as well as keep a check on your sailors while you're away in another country. So balancing as a naval officer, all while taking care of your family at home. So as a naval officer, the challenge heightened a bit. However, I was very courageous in overcoming that challenge from experience.
Wow, Judy, you're really an uncommon hero. During those uncertain times, you know, you overcame fears. You said during 9/11, which was a very historical and tragic event here in America, you overcame your fear and continued to move forward with the mission. We're celebrating you, Judy, because you're telling our story. Women have to overcome fears in order to continue to move forward and to what? In order to fulfill their destiny, accomplish the various responsibilities, having courage. I heard you say that you had to utilize the courage that was within you, dealing with families, helping single parents to secure guardianship and daycare for their children. You took on more and more responsibility when you went from enlisted to officer. Many of us, we too have changed roles in our lives, and what was familiar was no longer familiar. Now we're in what? In an unfamiliar position now. But yet in that new position, now you're an officer, a female officer, more responsibility. You've now been elevated. You're facing the responsibility of mission readiness. Oh, my goodness, you're balancing. You're having to be quick in order to get things accomplished. I think that as well as myself and our other listeners, that we can relate to what you're saying. Because even now, we live in uncertain times. We, too, have to overcome fears, sometimes small, sometimes larger than others. But we have to also garner that courage that is within us. You are indeed, Judy, an uncommon hero, a woman that went from fulfilling a dream to become enlisted in the United States Navy, and then to work hard to do, obviously, the things that it takes to be elevated to the level of a United States naval officer. And you overcame challenges, which is what we have to do. I want to say something. This is really quite encouraging for us. We're all so proud of you joining the Navy, serving our country, and serving our country well. You know, that reminds me, if I can, you know, Judy, what it reminds me of, there was another woman, and this one is a biblical character, also an uncommon hero, who had to go the extra mile and garner courage. I think her name is Jael. Can you tell us what you may know about Jael? Because God has often put many of us in places where it seems like this is a very difficult assignment. Can you share with us?
Yes, ma'am, I can. Jael is a woman that stands out to me as a courageous woman. She was the wife of Heber, the Kenite man. During those times, their household were at peace with an army that the Israelites were at war with. And I see her as a woman of boldness. She took upon herself to assist the Israelites in conquering their demon, if I may say, by conquering the one that was oppressing them and killing them. And that is Sisera, the commander for the army. And during those times, Jael is a woman that you don't hear about often, which is why she stands out as an uncommon hero to me. It was during the reign of Barak and Deborah. Deborah received the assignment from God, and she presented it to Barak, who then told her, I will go, but not without you. And, you know, during those times, Deborah told him, well, if I go, you know, the victory will not be at your hand, and it will be at the hand of a woman. And this is why Jael stands out to me as a hero. I would say she was on the opposing team. However, God visited her. He anointed her, and she answered the call. She answered it knowing that she may be in jeopardy of her family, of her kindred, of her people. She answered the call to God by receiving, accepting the assignment. And during those times, women were not even allowed to be in a battle or be on the front lines or even, I would say, a matter of fact, in the vicinity where the war was being taking place. But God strategically placed Jael there along with her husband in the path of the enemy and equipped her. This is what I love about it because it relates to my life. He equipped her with the tools that she needed to accomplish the assignment. And during those times, Jael, I'm sure she was terrified because she had to answer to her husband, who was the head of the family and overall the one who answers all the questions and control what happened in the household. And, you know, after reviewing about her in the book of Judges, chapter 4, a matter of fact, the story goes on and it talks about how Jael welcomed the king, the commander, Sisera, after his army lost. And so now as the commander, he is fleeing the scene. He ran right into Jael, who welcomed him into her home, into her tent, made him comfortable, you know, showing some hospitality, if I may say. You know, she welcomed him in and offered him some beverage. So she made the commander comfortable. She's still doing what she knows to do, but all along she also remembered the assignment. She remembered what God had equipped her and called her to do. Now, although she may have been fearful, terrified of repercussions, she knew she had to carry out the assignment that was now up on her. After Sisera, who also did not expect Jael to harm him. That's another reason he ran into her tent, into the comfort of her home. He did not expect her, one, I would say, as a woman. He did not expect her to be able to carry out any type of act against him. After all, she was committed to what her husband told her to do, and she may not have been equipped as a fighter to combat this commander. So he felt very comfortable, and after she gave him the milk, he went to rest. He went to lay his head because, hey, the enemy will not find me here. They're not expecting me to be here. So he was laying there as a friend to Jael, but to Jael, he was an enemy. She has to do what God called her to do by helping the Israelites to be free from this cruel commander. So what did she do? She did something unheard of for a woman to do during those times. She tiptoed. I said it, tiptoed. Jael walked softly, tiptoed after she took a peg. She took a long peg, a peg with a hammer, because in order for a peg to be effective, a hammer would work best with it. So she took a peg and she tiptoed over to Sisera and she drove the peg into the side of his face, driving it so hard into his head that it went through the ground. During those times, it killed him because those pegs are meant to hold things in place. And so when she put the peg in his side of his forehead, right past his eye gate, so now he's a dead man, a dead man. Jael heard Barak, the captain, he's the one that really is chasing Sisera. So now Jael hears him coming on his horse, I would say, and he ran out to greet him. And the greeting would be, I would say, one of fear and one of triumph. I would say that's mixed emotions going on there. She ran out to meet him to show him what she had done. And so during those times, Barak came into the tent and he saw that the enemy was defeated. Jael was waved a hero, and she brought a victory to Israel along with Deborah. Because of her actions, she did it afraid. She did what the Lord had assigned her and equipped her to do afraid. She used the instruments, the tools that God had presented around her, and she did what she needed to do. And what I love about her, Dr. Glovinia, you know, many might say, but God is not an author of confusion. No, he's not. He's a God of order. And so she may have disobeyed her husband. You know, I said, well, you know, she did. But God is a God of order, and so it's under God's control. Why I say that? I remember the story of Mary and Joseph when God also placed an assignment in Mary's stomach, but then he sent an angel to minister to Joseph so he wouldn't be upset with Mary. And I believe that is the same thing that God would have done for Jael's husband, give him comfort. And so I am excited that you brought up that name, Dr. Glovinia, because she resonates with me because of her courageous act and the boldness that bestowed upon her to do what God assigned her to do.
Judy, wow, what a beautiful analogy. What an analogy you have presented to us. She did it afraid. We can relate to that. We're talking about an uncommon hero, Jael, an uncommon hero, Judy Reed. She did it afraid. Just as you mentioned in your naval career, there were things that you had to do. There were challenges and difficulties that you were faced with, even though you felt fear. You still stayed on point to the mission and to be prepared for mission readiness. Well, this is very strategic, the information that you have given us, because God equips us in order to do what he has called us to do. It sounds like Jael was like the secret weapon for Israel, an uncommon hero. Even though you said she may have had mixed emotions, mission was still accomplished. She accepted the call, just as you accepted the call. You accepted the call to serve this great country in the Navy, and you also accepted the great call and the greatest call to serve God Almighty. We're so proud of you, and we want to thank you for all of the tips that you've given us, because guess what? We have so much in common. Women that tell our stories. And I want to thank you, Judy, for telling us your story and sharing with us the story of Jael. Uncommon heroes, women who are standing out, have found their place in history and still making room for you to find your place in history. I'd like to tell you again, often we don't step out on faith because we have some doubt often to our purpose. Sometimes we lack clarity or precision of purpose. But if you'll take the challenge, what is my purpose? Ask yourself that. What am I called to do? Even though I may feel a little fearful in fulfilling my financial goals, my career, my educational goals, my business goals, my ministerial goals, my personal goals, I'm going to step out on faith. And I may even ask, what do I do that prevented me from doing this? I want to say again, thank you so much, Lieutenant Judy Reed, United States Navy retired. You have indeed been a blessing to us. We salute you today, and we want you to know that we just say to you, may you continue to walk in success. May you continue to walk in peace, prosperity, and the beautiful divine protection of God Almighty. Thank you so much for joining us today, an uncommon hero, and I think that you are too. History is waiting for you. God bless you. Have a beautiful, magnificent day.
Thank you, and please join me the next time on The Dr. Glovina Show. You can connect with me on my social media platforms. And until next time, love, peace, and prosperity. Bye.